One timid, fateful knock resounds upon the rock of ages. One trembling heart and soul becomes a servant bold and courageous. You call across the mountains and the seas. I answer from the deepest part of me. At night, uplift up my heart and now
Amen. Thank you, Jared. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Judges chapter 13 as we look at Samson, his beginnings. The birth of Samson, we'll look at the entire chapter 13 this evening, and where we'll see, first of all, the announcement of Samson's birth, then the appearance of the angel of the Lord, and then the accomplishment of his birth. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life of Samson. Now, Lord, we know that it wasn't always positive and it wasn't always success. Neither is it always success in anyone's life. But we pray that you would help us, that we would learn from Samson and from his birth and the beginnings of his life here in chapter 13. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. First of all, let's look at a little bit of introduction from verse 1 there. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And we have been talking about this cycle as we go through the book of Judges, and they continue to sin. And you remember the cycle that I've shared with you several times. The Israelites would sin. God would send them into slavery, servitude, and then they would get tired of it, this time after 40 years, and they would cry out to God in their supplications, and he would save them. He would send a judge, a deliverer to them there. And so we come to Samson, and the strongest man recorded, but yet often the very weakest man. He was used by the Spirit, but often he was given to the flesh. He was a man of great victories, but he had even greater failures. He was dedicated to God before his birth. He was mostly dedicated to himself after his birth. And so when we come to the announcement of Samson's birth, the angel of the Lord comes to Manoah, the recipients of the announcement, and his wife, first coming to his wife there. Her name is not given. In verse 2, it says, "There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and bear not there. And oftentimes in Scripture, it will tell us of someone who's done something or the Lord has spoken to them and doesn't give his name or her name. In this particular case, of course, here we know that they're married. And so in marriage, that makes two people one, and they're united together. In Genesis 5:2, it says God called their name Adam, referring to Adam and Eve. And of course, our custom in America for many years, it's kind of changing a little bit. When people get married, the wife changes her name and takes on the last name of the husband. We're seeing more and more a trend where they're not doing that or keeping their name and putting a hyphen in it there, which I guess is not scripturally wrong. It's just something that's kind of different, but the scriptures talk about the marriage being one there. And so God came to others with a special announcement of a baby coming. Remember, he came to Abraham and Zacharias and Mary. And as the angel comes with this announcement, it's a heavenly announcement because verse 3 says, the angel of the Lord appeared. And so this announcement is not coming from one of God's prophets. God often chose to use a prophet to go and give an announcement. But this particular time, God is sending the message from heaven itself. Not only was it a heavenly announcement, but this was a hopeful announcement. Notice the message in verse 3. It says, thou shalt conceive and bear a son there. And here, Manoah's wife was barren. In their society, there was some stigma that went with that. It was very disappointing. They couldn't provide children for their husband. And so she is very excited when this messenger comes from heaven and says, there's hope of life in you. And of course, we know spiritual applications. We are dead in sin without Christ. And the only hope we have of life is in Christ. But this angel comes and to Manoah's wife, and she's so excited. In verse 4, now therefore beware, I pray thee, drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. And so we see the requirements of this announcement. It goes on to tell us later that this child is going to be a Nazarite there. Verse 5, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, and the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. From the womb. That's where life begins, isn't it? We know that. That's why we're so pro-life, because it begins there in the womb. And shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. In verse 6, the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me. She didn't say an angel. She didn't know it was an angel, and we'll talk about him more in a minute. Came to me, and his countenance was like of an angel of God, very terrible, full of terror. And I asked him not whence he was, and neither told me his name. And so the requirement was he was going to be a Nazarite. And the Nazarite vow, first of all, there could be no fruit of the vine, wine or strong drink there. And then the Nazarite could not touch any unclean thing, not touch a dead body, human or otherwise, and then not get the haircut. So those were three things of the Nazarite vow. And usually this was a temporary vow. We have three people in Scripture that were lifelong Nazarites. One was Samson, one was Samuel, and one was John the Baptist. Those are the only three the Bible mentions that were lifetime Nazarites. And of course, this is not to be confused with a Nazarene. Jesus was called a Nazarene. And there's a denomination, obviously, that comes from that because he was from the city of Nazareth. And so Nazarite and Nazarene are not synonymous at all there. And so here are the requirements for not only Samson, but even while he is in the womb, his mother is not to be doing these things as well. And so notice the response. Here's this announcement. She's barren. And she's so excited. So what do you do when you get a message from God? Well, here's what they did in verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord. And so he goes to the Lord in prayer. And that is certainly a proper response for us whenever God gives us a message. We have a lot of them in the scriptures. And here's something exciting. They're going to have a baby. And that's an exciting thing for anyone, especially someone who thought it's not going to happen in our lifetime. But yet, a miraculous thing comes, and they go to God in prayer. And notice this prayer. There are four requests that Manoah makes in this prayer. He says, first of all, he says, when he entreated the Lord, he said, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come again to us and teach us. The first request was, teach us. We're going to have this child. And how do we teach this child? How do we bring this child up? And we've seen this word teach before, and I've shared it with you. It's a Hebrew word that means to shoot, as you would shoot arrows there. Psalm 127:4 says, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And so he says, Lord, teach us how to aim and direct to teach this child in the direction that he should go. So he hits the bullseye. He hits the target of what you want for his life. And Lord, we can't do this. We've never had a child. We've never had a conference on how to raise children. Lord, you teach us. Well, that was his first request. Notice the second in verse 8. It's the word do. He says, teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And this word, do, is a Hebrew word that means to construct something or to build it to completion. And so this is going to begin not when the child is born. It's going to begin the womb. That's why a lot of people, and maybe you've even done this, whenever a couple who loves the Lord, they find out they're going to be with child, they'll even read to the baby while the baby's in the womb and pray, you know. And you say, well, the baby can't hear. No, but you're not praying to the baby. You're praying to God there. And so she had these instructions from the very beginning that she conceived the Nazirite vow. And they said, Lord, we need help. We need to know how to aim this child in the right direction, and we're going to be involved in a construction process. We're going to be building this child up in the faith. And we need the Lord's help for that. And God gives us people to help us with that. And that's one of the reasons for our school, you know, to help parents with the education of their children and all the other aspects that go along with the school. But continue reading in verse 9. We'll see the other two parts of this request. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So Manoah's just, he wants to see this angel or this messenger of God as well. Verse 10, the woman made haste and ran. She showed her husband and said to him, behold, the man hath appeared to me. He's back. And they came, the one that came the other day, verse 10. So in verse 11, Manoah arose and he went after his wife. He came to the man and he said to him, art thou the man that spake to the woman? And he said, I am. So this is the same one that was there before that gave him this wonderful message that you who were barren are now going to have a child. And so we see the other two requests in the next verse, 12. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. Oh, let it be. We love your message. We want it to come to pass. Then he says, how shall we order the child? There's another Hebrew word, and it's a word that means to govern there. And how are we going to govern our child's life? And today the parents would be asking, Lord, how are we going to govern what our child watches on TV? how are we going to govern how the video games that our child plays? Lord, help us to govern the friends that our child chooses. Lord, help us to govern the way our child uses his cell phone. Lord, help us to govern our child in his education. And that's a parent's responsibility, to govern that child. Now, usually most children, they're not excited about that, because who likes to be governed? We like to be free and do our own thing. But God has given the responsibility to parents to govern. And this particular word, govern, here the Hebrew word, it really is a word that has to do with all aspects of the judicial process, a legal obligation. And from the legal responsibility of legal as far as God's word legal, we as parents, we have that responsibility to order our children, to govern them. But he's praying. He knows, we can't do that, Lord. You've got to teach us. You've got to help us build this child. You've got to help us govern this child. And then the next word is the word do again. But it's not the same word as do. In verse 8, he says, how we shall order the child and how we shall do unto him. And this time, the Hebrew word do is a word that means workmanship. Now, it's very similar to the other word, because you're constructing something and building something. But in bringing up a child is work. And we look at workmanship sometimes, and you see people that construct things and do things. If you see sorry workmanship, something that's kind of slipped by quality control, well, here in bringing up these children, we need this quality control. And we say, Lord, you've got to help me, because it's hard work. It's workmanship. And it's really hard, especially when that child is just like you are. And it makes it really hard, you know, because you're having to deal with that kind of thing. And so in Proverbs 31:31, speaking of the virtuous woman, it says, let her own works praise her in the gates, because she's has this workmanship. And that workmanship is invested in the life of a child. And Lord, teach us how to build this child and how to govern this child. So when we have completed this workmanship, this child is going to be honoring to you. In the book of Jonah, it says when Jonah went to preach that God saw the works of Nineveh after Jonah had preached to them. And so the works that parents do in bringing up a child, it's hard work and it requires prayer. And Manoah was praying that God would help with this wonderful opportunity they had. But then we see, coming down to verse 13, the angel of the Lord said to Manoah after the prayer, of all that I said to the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that comes of the vine. See, it's not just wine, but eating of anything from the vine. And neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said in verse 15 to the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And so now they're going to offer a present to the Lord. Basically, he's saying, hey, you're giving us a kid, we won't give you a kid. Well, there's a different kind of kid. I don't know where we started calling children kids, but we do that in not a derogatory sense here. But they want to give this present to this man. They don't know yet. I mean, he's glowing like an angel, but they don't know who this is, and we're going to see that in just a minute. But this is to show their gratitude to the messenger. And they said, let us detain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee. They know that life comes from God. Manoah was a godly man, and the child is God's doing, but they are so appreciative of the one bringing the message that they want to do something for him. We do the same thing. Brother Washer was here today. He brought a message, and I hope you were as blessed by his messages this morning as I was, and just a tremendous word from God there. And so we give him an honorarium. We want to do something to give him something. He has been the messenger of God, and we take care of the messenger there. And so they offer the present. Now, verse 16. The angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? When thy saying come to pass, we may do thee honor. Maybe they wanted to name the child after him or something like that to honor him. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? We'll come back to that in a minute as well. Verse 19. Now we come to the praise. We've seen the prayer and the present, and now his praise. So Manoah, he took a kid, a goat, with a meat offering. He offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on, for it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And so now he begins to praise God and show his gratitude. They fell on their faces there. And now they're beginning to get more knowledge. After that, he knew that this was an angel of the Lord. And notice where the additional knowledge comes, or when it comes. It comes after prayer, after the present, and after the praise. Once he does all of that, then he begins to have more knowledge. And oftentimes we want to know things from God. We're asking him something, and he wants us to pray and give our presence and give our praise. And when we've done that, then God will give us the answer and the knowledge that he knows that we need to have. Now we go to the appearance of the angel of the Lord, and we'll back up just a little bit. And some of the verses that we read over earlier, his purpose in verse 8. It says, Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send. And so God had a purpose whenever he sends this angel out. And God has a purpose for every individual. God has a purpose with angels, as Hebrews tells us. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to God's people. And God wants to send us forth. He wants to use us as well to accomplish his purposes. But we see not only his purpose, his person. In verse 18, Manoah wants to know, and the angel of the Lord said, why are you asking my name? It is secret there. And this Hebrew word translated secret is translated wonderful in Isaiah 9:6, when it says he is the wonderful counselor. This is the same word. And so we know that this is an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. This angel of the Lord is not just a seraphim, or a seraph or a cherub there. This is the angel of the Lord. This is Christ himself, a Christophany, as we call it there. And then we read in Psalm 139:6, it says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. And then in verse 19, you see the word wondrously, and it's from the same Hebrew word there. The angel did wondrously there. And so here's this wonderful thing happening, that they're seeing God as an angel, a spirit. And later we'll see Manoah thought they were going to die because of it, because they realized that they had seen God there. Well, we see his power as well in verse 19. Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. God does wondrous works. Whenever he saves a soul, that's a wondrous work. Four, this week at VBS, he does wondrous works. Even the story this morning when Brother Washer was telling how he got into the elevator and the person happened to be working in a prison, you know, and the world looks at it and says, what a coincidence. No, God arranges those things. He does wondrous things, and it's just amazing to see him at work and his power. But we also see his presence here as he ascended in the flame. Now, we have his abiding presence. He's not going to flee from us like he did here. Remember the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they looked in the fire, and there's a fourth man in there. Well, it wasn't a man. It was the Son of God. And just as here, this angel of the Lord, the Son of God, who does wondrous works, he ascends in the flame, and immediately they fall on their faces in verse 20, and they begin to worship him. Remember when Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1, and they said, why stand ye gazing into the air? The same Jesus, you know, he's coming back. And so just as he ascended there, he does that here. He ascends here in a flame. He didn't do that in Acts chapter 1 in a flame, but he ascended there. And so we have his wonderful presence. Now we come to verse 21. And we see the accomplishment of his birth, the bringing of the promise. In verse 21, the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife, and Manoah knew he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, we're going to die. We shall surely die because we have seen God. They understood that this was not just some angel or some prophet. No, Manoah understood that they had seen God. And normally that means death. And so they said, we must be going to die. Well, as he was so caught up in that, his wife kind of talked a little bit of sense into him, as is often the case. And his wife said in verse 23, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would at this time have told us such things as these. He said, we're going to have a child. And he wouldn't have come and told us we're going to have a child if we're getting ready to die. So we're not going to die. And Manoah was comforted, no doubt, from the wise words of his wife. And so 9 months later, verse 24, and the woman bare a son. She bare a son. And God had promised through the angel of the Lord, that this barren woman, in the eyes of man, and as far as man could tell, she couldn't have children. It was impossible. But we serve a God who is the God of the impossible, and God always completes his promises. He promised Manoah and his wife, you're going to have a child. God promised us that he's coming back again, and he is. He promises that there's a hell for those who reject him, and there is. He promises there's a heaven for those of us who know the Lord, and we're going to be with him someday. And so we see the bringing of the promise, and we see the broadcasting of the name. Notice the word called. It's not just a naming of him. It says the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And that Hebrew word means to proclaim or to announce it. Here's Samson. And the word Samson means sun or sunshine there. And can you imagine the sunlight, heavenly sunlight? We sang about the sunlight and the sunshine. A ray of light to a barren woman. She was excited. And she is broadcasting the fact that Samson is here. My ray of sunshine. And no doubt she would be disappointed in later years with some of the things that he would do there. But we see the blessing of the Lord. It says, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Blessed him primarily with two things, with strength And as we see more of his life in the next week or two, we'll see some of the strength. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. 1 Timothy 4:18 says, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. And so, not just physical strength, but godliness as well. But the other blessing was his service. We saw earlier in verse 5, it says, he shall begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And so the blessing of God was the strength that God gave him to serve God, to do what God sent him to do, to deliver Israel. And God does that for us. He gives us the strength to do whatever he calls us to do. And all of us will not be a Samson, will not be a Manoah or Mrs. Manoah, but God will always give us the strength to do what he calls us to do when we rely on him and don't try to do it in our own strength. And then we see the bothering of the spirit there. I hesitated on putting that because it sounds bad, but I looked at the Hebrew word and studied the word, and it says the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. And the word move means to stir or trouble. And it's only used four other times in the Old Testament. And every one of those times, it's translated trouble. For example, in Pharaoh, in Genesis 41, it says his spirit was troubled. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 2:1, it says Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream wherewith his spirit was troubled. And his sleep broke from him. So he couldn't sleep. He was troubled. He was bothered about something. And the psalmist, Asaph, in Psalm 77:4 says, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. And so here, the Lord will sometimes move us by troubling us. And so we see the meaning of those words coming together. He troubles our spirits to move us to action, to do something for him. And that's what he's doing with Samson. He's moving him. The Spirit of the Lord is coming upon him, and he's giving him strength to serve God. And that's what he does for us. He gives us the strength to serve him. He will always give us the strength for the service that he calls us to do, just as he did for Samson, sunshine into the life of Manoah and his wife. And God had a plan and a purpose, and God used it. And we'll see his failures, but it's encouraging to know that even with all his failures, God still used him and accomplished what God had sent him forth to do, was to begin to deliver Israel there from the enemies. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Samson, for the story of his birth, for Manoah and his wife, and their desire to train him properly, scripturally, and what we as parents and grandparents and educators can learn on how to train up children as well. And so with these four areas of teaching children, help us to incorporate those and the opportunities that we have to teach children for the Lord. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.